I wonder if I could ask you what you were doing last night. Was it your usual Saturday night routine? And how did you sleep? Now, don't worry, we're not going to spend the next number of minutes listening to people's stories about sleeping and dreaming, or maybe not sleeping and not dreaming. But I asked the question because last night about 8,000 people slept rough in Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh as part of the Sleep in the Park. Now, these were not your average rough sleepers who sleep in doorways, who sleep in park benches, who sleep, frankly, wherever they can find a place for the night in our country. But last night was different. Last night there was a new, different crowd trying to sleep rough in the heart of Edinburgh. These people were in Princes Street Gardens, and every one of them had paid lots of money for the privilege of being there. Now, this was the idea of the boss of the now becoming quite famous Social Bite restaurant and business in Rose Street in Edinburgh. He has a vision. He believes that we can solve the problem of homelessness. And he is working very hard to build a coalition of people who will share his dream, his vision, and end that curse in our society forever. He's quite a guy. Sleep in the Park was designated to raise a lot of money for the cause and also bring a lot of publicity. And so Liam Gallagher, Deacon Blue, and Amy MacDonald entertained those rough sleepers last night, and John Cleese and Bob Geldof were reading them bedtime stories. And interestingly, very interestingly for me and all of you today, one of the people sleeping there last night was the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, Derek Browning. I'm glad all this happened in his year and not mine. Not sure how I would do sleeping rough. But along with Derek, there was a ragtag collection of ministers, elders, and members of congregations of the Church of Scotland and other denominations. And of course, what a night they had for it. Maybe the coldest night of the year so far. It was certainly expected to be that. And we had a text ourselves just quite late last night from two ladies who were sleeping out, and we were thinking about them last night. But you know what? I think I can picture somebody else who would really have enjoyed sleeping rough last night. Yes, really enjoyed it. And he's already featured this morning in the New Testament reading. His name's John. John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is one of the real characters in the New Testament because he was unusual. From this morning's reading, we know that he lived out in the desert. We know from other places in the gospel that he lived out there in very strange clothing and that he really could seem quite a frightening figure to people who lived in towns and villages. And it was out in the wilderness that he was when he received his call from God. And the text says he then went throughout the whole area preaching and getting people ready for the one who was to come. John came out of that tradition. He was very like the prophets of the Old Testament. Indeed, in our gospel reading, John uses a quote from one of these prophets, Isaiah to encourage his listeners to pay attention to Jesus of Nazareth, to pay attention to the message of Jesus. My goodness, how we need people like John the Baptist today. In fact, we need them for any generation, every generation. We need people like John because they are the prophets for this and every generation. Why? Because they see the world differently. They walk a different road. And all of us who claim to follow Jesus need these prophets to help us, to help see what's wrong with the world, but most importantly, to change it. The prophets want to change the world. Listen to these words from the Old Testament reading again, from the prophet Isaiah. He will settle disputes among great nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us. If there is one passage from Isaiah that most people might recognize, I would suggest it might be these three verses from near the beginning of Isaiah chapter 2. And it's not hard to see why. Because these few words of a prophet who lived in Jerusalem in the second part of the 8th century BC contain ideas and images that can still inspire people today. Indeed, sometimes when people hear these particular verses, which God revealed to Isaiah all these hundreds of years ago, people can think that these verses were written for us in these early years of the 21st century. Because despite all our advances since the 8th century BC, sometimes it seems that as a human race, we haven't learned anything at all. Right now, we seem to be surrounded by trouble, by wars and the rumor of wars in Syria, in Yemen, in South Sudan, just to name only three. And incredibly, in Libya, human beings who are fleeing as refugees from conflicts in Africa are actually being sold as slaves in an open-air market in 2017. How on earth could that happen? And in addition, of course, all of us in the world hold our breath these days as the leaders of North Korea and America trade insults like we boys in a playground. And all of this, as people everywhere are crying out for diplomacy and wisdom and statesmanship and peace. So no wonder that these verses from the prophet Isaiah appear to be so contemporary, so inspiring, with these images of settling disputes among great nations and hammering their weapons of war into useful agricultural implements and equipment to tend the plants and the crops and the vineyards and the orchards. Images of hope that the world is desperately needing, where nations don't simply sign a temporary truce, but never again go to war and never prepare for fighting again. Images of people of faith, just like us, not marching off to war, but walking together, walking in the light that God gives us. Something remarkable will take place today. In fact, very soon, in Oslo in Norway at 12 noon UK time. The 2017 Nobel Peace Prize will be presented to ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. ICAN is a relatively new organization, but it's grown out of other bodies. But ICAN is different. It's refreshingly different. Why? Because so many of the members of this growing worldwide movement are young people. This is a new generation of people, and they do things differently. Their strategy has been to push forward, not to wait for nuclear weapon states to decide to disarm. Indeed, they copy successful campaigns such as those which led to the ban on landmines, or chemical weapons, or biological weapons. ICAN's successful approach is building a coalition, a global coalition, around the historic treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. The Nobel Committee have recognized the new approach, and in under an hour now, ICAN will join the list of famous Nobel laureates, like the International Committee of the Red Cross, like Médecins Sans Frontières, I always have difficulty saying that, like Martin Luther King, and like Nelson Mandela. ICAN is being presented with the Nobel Peace Prize today, quote, for its work to draw attention to the catastrophic humanitarian consequences of any use of nuclear weapons and for its groundbreaking efforts to achieve a treaty based on prohibitions of such weapons. And in all of this, we remember today as a congregation of the Church of Scotland, the Church of Scotland's long support for ridding the world of nuclear weapons. This season of Advent is a beautiful time for us to get ready for the one who is to come. The Creator God in flesh and blood comes to be with us, but not as we expect, not as we imagine. The Creator of all life wriggles into our world in a tiny newborn baby, needing to be cared for and loved. And yet it's so easy for us to miss the moment. It's so easy for us to look in the wrong places. And that's why we need prophets of this and every generation. We need the ones who are given the gift of seeing things differently. They are the ordinary people who do groundbreaking, extraordinary things because they believe in doing the right thing. They often tell us the truth when everybody else cannot seem to hear it or is too frightened to speak it. And so in these wonderful days of Advent, thank God for the prophets and the visionaries, for those who see what most of us cannot see, for they are often the ones who understand that the helpless Christ, the child in the manger, is indeed the one who can bring hope, love, and peace to a tired and weary but still beautiful world. Amen.